Our gospel lesson is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of our Lord. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are many things we need to do before we start out on a journey. First, we need to decide where we are going. After all, if we don't know where we are going, how will we know when we get there? Second, we need to plan out that journey. In years past, I remember unfolding maps and using them to plot my course. I would go to AAA for a triptych, where they would put together a booklet with the route all mapped out for me, and all I needed to do was follow the way that had been highlighted. It didn't take into consideration closures due to road construction or inclement weather, nor was it as helpful when I wanted to take a detour to see some sort of attraction along the way, but it worked well. These days, I look at Google Maps on my computer to get a rough understanding of the freeways, highways, and other roadways I need to take. I will then input my destination and let that artificial voice on my phone lead me. I've made the trip from Buffalo to Southern California and back so many times that I pretty much know the way. There are two tricky spots in Casper and in Rawlins where the move is from one highway to another, sometimes with the need to detour because of road construction. I still need a little help at those two junctions. But I know how to manage the rest because I've done it so many times. I know the rest stops I always use. I know that the halfway point of my trip is around Nephi, Utah. I know approximately how far I can travel in a day and when and where I can stop. I know the hotels I would use again and those I would avoid. Because I know the way, the journey is a lot less stressful. I can look around at the scenery a little more. Anticipate the beauty of Virgin River Gorge that marks the point of leaving Utah and entering a small corner of Arizona before crossing into Nevada. I know the places where I need to keep my eyes fixed on the road because the way becomes a bit treacherous, like the canyon that leads from Park City, Utah into Salt Lake City. I know that the traffic will bog down for miles around Salt Lake and Las Vegas. The Joshua trees in the Mojave Desert tell me that I'm getting closer. I know that once I cross the border between Nevada and California, that I am in San Bernardino County, which is where Redlands is located, but that I need to drive for almost 4 hours through the largest county in the nation before arriving at my final destination. I know that by the time I get to Barstow, I will be in traffic that will just get worse until it slows down to a crawl in the Cajon Pass. And then I know that I have almost arrived. Our gospel lesson for today is the beginning of what is known as Jesus' farewell discourse. Jesus has just washed the feet of his disciples and predicted that one would betray him and one would deny him. And Judas has left the room to put his betrayal plan in motion. Jesus is addressing the 11 who remain. Jesus has told them that he will be leaving them, and that where he is going, they cannot go now, but will follow later. And now Jesus comforts his disciples by telling them that he is going to prepare a place for them, and then will come back and take them to be with him. He asserts that they know the way to the place where he is going. Thomas, the practical one, says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Give us directions. Give us some sort of a road map so we can follow you. Give us a GPS with audible instructions. Make it clear to us how to follow the road we need to take, because we haven't been there before." Jesus replies, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip speaks up, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Let's pause here. Back in the 1990s, a comedian named Bill Engvall recorded a comedy album. One of the routines begins with a statement that stupid people should wear warning signs so that no one will rely upon them or ask them anything. "Excuse me, oops, never mind, didn't see your sign." He then tells several stories in which someone asks a stupid question, to which he provides a sarcastic response, followed by the statement, "Here's your sign." In one of them, he describes how he and his wife were preparing to move from Texas to California. Their house was full of boxes, and they had a U-Haul truck in the driveway. A friend came over and asked, "Hey, you moving?" "Nope, we just pack our stuff up once or twice a week just to see how many boxes it takes. Here's your sign." It's a great routine. You can find it on YouTube. And I'm sure that each one of you has examples of foolish questions you've heard people ask. I know I've had a lot of times that I could have told people, "Here's your sign." I'm sure Jesus did too. Jesus must have sighed a lot at the questions his disciples posed to him. Despite everything he tells them, they don't seem to understand. Thomas asks for directions, and Jesus tells him to keep his eyes focused on him. Jesus is the roadway to the Father. But Philip wants to take his eyes off Jesus. "Just show us the Father. Just show us the final destination, and we should be able to figure out the rest for ourselves." Jesus replies, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Jesus is saying, "Don't you understand what I've been telling you for the past 3 years about the relationship between me and the one who sent me? Don't you understand who I am? Don't you understand that the way to the Father is a journey, and that what I've been teaching is a way of life to be followed, and that my words and actions testify to the truth about God? Can't you see how my life is an example of how to walk in the way that leads to God? Don't we do the same thing, asking the same sorts of questions of Jesus? 'Jesus, are you really going to prepare a place for us?' 'Nope, I think I'll go and build a great big old mansion for myself, and then I won't tell you where it is and won't invite you in if you find it. Here's your sign.'" When we look at our lesson from Acts, we can see someone who understood what Jesus was talking about, someone who walked the path set before him while keeping his eyes focused on Jesus. Stephen is described in Acts chapter 6 as a person filled with faith and the Holy Spirit, appointed as a deacon to help oversee the distribution of food to widows. He performed great wonders and signs, which led to opposition by the religious leaders, who seized him and sought to silence him. They provided false witnesses to testify against him, saying that he had blasphemed about Moses and God. When he was asked if the charges were true, he described how the religious leaders were misunderstanding Scripture, showing how throughout the ages God's messengers had been rejected and killed. He then turned his gaze to heaven and testified about Jesus and his relationship to the Father. Religious leaders covered their ears and, yelling as loudly as they could, rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began stoning him. They laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees and prayed, "Lord, do you not hold this against them," and died. And that young man, Saul? In chapter 9 of Acts, we will read how Saul encounters the risen Jesus and takes on a new name and a new identity, becoming Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul, who despite shipwrecks and imprisonment and other hardships, kept his eyes focused on Jesus to the end. In this Easter season, we continue our journey of faith. The road has been mapped out for us. We know where it leads and to whom it leads. We can see the signposts along the way that point out the direction we are to travel. When there is road construction and we encounter a detour, we know how to follow the signs that lead us where we need to go. Here's your sign, not the one that points to us and our failings, but the one that indicates the one upon whom we can rely, the one who seeks to draw all people to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to keep our eyes focused on you, the one who points the way to God and God's kingdom. Help us to live lives that point to you just as you point to the one who sent you. Forgive us for the times when we take our eyes off you. Give us the strength and courage to trust in you, that you are indeed the way, the truth, and the life, and that in you and with you and through you we are called into a relationship that leads to life abundant and everlasting. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.